You're listening to a Dom and Jeremy podcast. Your boys in the morning on Mix 100.
So yesterday you told me that it was National Chocolate Cake Day.
Sure was.
And sweet Zoe, my stepdaughter, just on her own without knowing that, came breezing through and said, I feel like making a cake.
Hey, all right. Do it, girl.
So, yeah. Pretty, you know, I'll have to send you a picture of it. It was chocolate and vanilla cake.
All right.
But the vanilla part was colored pink.
Yeah.
But it was just coloring.
Not necessary.
And then they did some sort of pink glaze thing over there. Anyway.
Yeah.
Still tastes of chocolatey. So.
That's good.
I'll send you a photo and you can. Yeah. It's one of those things where it doesn't look that appetizing.
Yeah. But, I'll probably go, pink.
So. But I want to tell you what we watched last night, because Gretchen and I sat on the couch and we've been watching this. European, because I think they've got segments that are for England, Spain, Germany, and France, and it's called Criminal, and it's really fascinating because it's fiction. I mean, it's just a, you know, a drama series, but it all takes place in the interview room at a police station. You know, where they sit there and they interrogate people, then other people are on the other side of the two-way.
Got the mirror in there,
right? And they're watching
cigarette smoke going up.
So the entire series, it has three views. One is inside the interrogation room. One is in the room next to it. And then out in the hallway where they might go out and talk. And that's it. The show take. There's no other scenes at all. Not out in a car. Not at somebody's house. All of them take place in those three rooms or three locations.
Wow. And it works.
And well, here's the thing. Like, we tried to get Zoe to watch one, and she was like, oh, that's kind of boring. And I realized it's no action show. There's no car chases. There's no, it's all
just dialogue.
The writing.
Yeah.
It's all the writing and the drama based on great script writing. And so if you need, you know, that stimulation of somebody running and jumping and say, it's called Criminal.
Criminal.
It's fascinating. But
look it up.
The show that I really want to tell you about is this documentary that we watched last night. It's a two-parter. And we watched the first part last night, and we're going to watch the second part tonight. And it's called Tiger. And it's an HBO documentary about Tiger Woods. Now, I know a lot of people immediately dismiss and say, I don't like golf. I don't like golf. I'm not a golf fan.
Are you in
I
my
like
head
sports.
Right now?
Yeah. Well, you can forget all that, because it is, to me, an intriguing look at the mind of somebody who, from the moment he was born, was groomed by a parent, actually both parents, but primarily his dad. His mom had a lot to do with it too, and she even says she did. But he was like, when he was just 10 months old, he's swinging golf clubs because his dad wants him to be the greatest golfer.
Was he on a talk show or something? Was he on Carson or something swinging the
club?
I want
to say it was Mike Douglas.
Was it? Yeah, okay.
But it was...
There's video of him at a very early age doing that.
Yes, right.
Yeah.
And it's mind-boggling. But, you know, the whole idea that his dad has was that Tiger Woods, and his dad does not shy away from saying, I want him to be like Jesus or Gandhi or
of
Buddha.
Golf.
I want him changing the world. And so a lot of the show is about, what kind of pressure is that on a kid, then a young man, and an adolescent, and a young adult, that on your shoulders is heaped this, you are going to influence and change the entire world. You are the next coming of Christ, is essentially what his father told him.
Could be why he's had some issues in his personal life.
And we just were sucked in. It is really interesting. So if you're into those kind of documentaries, wow. It's...
All right.
So, I mean, I knew that he was pressured to, you know, be a professional athlete, but I had no idea. When I used to coach youth sports, and I did a lot of it, I coached youth baseball and football primarily. I did some soccer, but mostly football and baseball. And Jeremy, the number of kids who would come up to me, I mean, we're finishing a football practice where these kids can get hurt, and they're coming up to me saying, I don't want to play football. My dad is making me play football, and I don't want to. You know, all of the living vicariously through kids.
Your kids, yeah.
I saw it all the time. Not once or twice. Frequently.
Wow.
And the kids are like, I don't want to be here. My dad is going to be mad if I don't play.
Yeah.
And that has to only have increased in the year since I quit coaching.
Could be. But a lot of kids are like that when they start new things and try new things and they have an obligation and they hate it and then they end up, you know, turning around and loving it. But it wasn't like that. I mean, my kids do that. Reed's like, I hate basketball. I hate this. I hate that. And then he just scored the most points in the game this last time. So it's like, eh.
Yeah, I'm not saying they don't sometimes do well, but they're unhappy. And I've watched kids get into fights with their parents because the parents are there at every practice sitting in the lawn chair.
Go, go.
And I could never relate to that. My parents barely came to any of my games even. They loved me and they supported me, mm-hmm. but they weren't that, we have to sit there and watch every second. They drop me off. They say, have fun with your friends. You know, and I didn't care. None of our kids, you know, my peers
cared. You were just
there
to play, yeah.
Yeah, and something changed, I don't know, 30, 35 years ago where the parents had to be so involved, they had to sit there and watch every practice and, you know, make sure that their kid goes on to get a scholarship. That's the whole thing, right?
Mm, yeah.
You've got to go get a scholarship.
Yeah, pay for college.
Huh. Anyway. I think.
Can't say much because I'm sitting there every practice and every game, so.
Are you?
Yeah, I am.
Why
but I enjoy
just
it though.
Them off?
I enjoy it. I enjoy it. You know,
I know. Fine.
We don't see him during the day when he's at school and stuff. So it's some
Fine.
Good bonding
you see,
time.
You see him. Listen, during the quarantine, you haven't seen your kids enough. Is that what you're saying right now?
Not right now. I'm not seeing them a lot. So
I would suggest to you and all parents, try it. Try dropping your kids off sometime at practice and coming back and picking them up. You don't have to do it every practice, but sometimes just say like, you're on your own. Go play and practice,
do your
and I'll
thing.
See you in an hour.
You don't need approval today.
I'll
try that.
You won't. I know you won't.
No, I
but
won't.
Maybe
I think it's
because
I like
would.
Watching, though. So I do like watching. It brings me joy to watch.
Well, I'm going to call BS on you, buddy, because we're friends. I mm-hmm. think you're trying to now validate it. But I think you don't want to do it.
No, I
don't,
do.
I don't think
I
you
really, would. Really do.
I think you don't want to drop him off and come back an hour later.
I will disagree. I like being there. I do. I really like it. I like watching
There's
him.
Nothing more fun than sitting in a lawn chair and watching kids
I really back, like back. It. And, you know, and so we know other parents on the team, too, so we can sit there 6 feet apart and catch up a little bit and talk because we don't see them right now at all.
Okay, I'm wrong.
So
I'll take it back.
Yeah, I really like it.
Okay,
I'll
take it back.
And then I can see, you know, like areas that he needs work on, and we can talk about it. Then we pull the hoop out in the driveway and, you know.
Okay.
It's a whole thing.
All right.
All right.
Like I said, I retract what I said.
Okay.
At least verbally.
All right. We're
as
done.
Far as you know, I take it back.
Okay. Thank you.